Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
By the time she had been investigating paranormal claims for almost a decade, she had become far more skeptical than she had been when she started. In the beginning, almost anything had seemed exciting. A strange sound on an audio recorder could keep her up half the night, and a shadow caught at the edge of a camera frame was enough to send the whole team back through hours of footage. Over time, though, she learned how easily ordinary things could become evidence if someone wanted badly enough for them to be paranormal. Old buildings made noise, pipes knocked, floors shifted, air pressure moved doors, and radio interference could produce sounds that became words once someone suggested what to listen for. She still believed there were things she couldn't explain, which was why she kept investigating. But she had also become the person on the team most likely to ruin everyone else's excitement by finding the loose window, faulty wiring, or uneven floor. There was one thing, however, that she never treated casually. Early on, another investigator had told her that no matter what she believed about spirits following people home, it was smart to set a boundary before leaving an investigation. The woman had shown her a simple routine that took less than a minute, and over the years it became as automatic as checking that she had packed all her batteries. She kept a small bottle of cleansing spray in the side pocket of her equipment bag. Before leaving a location, she would spray a little around herself and say the same words twice. Nothing there was permitted to leave with her, nothing was allowed to enter her car or her home, and whatever belonged at the location needed to remain there. She never claimed the spray itself had special powers, and she wasn't even sure the words did. To her, it was simply a boundary. And after dozens of investigations without a single strange incident at home, she saw no reason to stop doing it. The investigation that changed that took place in an old former nursing home that had been closed for several years. The building had a reputation among local investigators, mostly because of reports from people who had worked there before it shut down. Staff members had described call lights coming on in empty rooms, footsteps moving through hallways late at night, and occasional voices from sections of the building where no residents were living anymore. Nothing about the story sounded especially unusual to her, but the location was large, mostly intact, and rarely open to investigation teams, so when her group was invited in for a Saturday night, she was interested. They arrived before dark and spent the first hour walking through the building with the caretaker. Most of the furniture had been removed, but the hallway still looked unmistakably institutional. Handrails ran along the walls, room numbers remained beside empty doorways, and faded markings showed where nurses' stations and common areas had once been. One particular hallway on the second floor had produced more reports than the others. Former employees said they would sometimes hear three slow footsteps coming from the far end, followed by a single knock. Nobody knew what supposedly caused it, and there wasn't a specific resident or death associated with the story. It was simply something enough people had reported over the years that it became part of the building's reputation. She liked that there wasn't an elaborate legend attached to it because it meant they could investigate the sound without everyone trying to force it into a story. Most of the evening was uneventful. They recorded in several rooms, tested areas where electromagnetic readings seemed unusually high, and quickly traced one of them to old wiring behind a wall. A door that supposedly closed by itself turned out to swing whenever another door farther down the hall was opened. By midnight, she had debunked more than she had documented, which was fairly normal. The second floor hallway was different. Around 1 a.m, 3 members of the team were sitting quietly near the former nurse's station when they heard footsteps from the dark end of the hall. There were 3 slow steps, followed by several seconds of silence, and then a knock sounded somewhere ahead of them. It wasn't particularly loud, but all 3 heard it. They spent the next 20 minutes trying to reproduce the sequence. One investigator walked the hallway while the others listened, and they checked doors, walls, and sections of loose flooring. She even went downstairs to see whether movement below could carry upward. They never found an explanation, but she also refused to call it paranormal after hearing it once. Later in the night, though, it happened again. 3 footsteps, a pause, and 1 knock. This time, everyone was accounted for. She marked the time in her notes and kept investigating. By the time the team finally started packing up, it was well after 3 in the morning. Everyone was tired. One of the cameras had started malfunctioning, and they had spent nearly half an hour searching for a missing battery pack that eventually turned up under a chair downstairs. The careful, organized routine they usually followed at the end of an investigation became much more rushed. Cases were carried outside, cords were rolled up badly, and equipment was loaded wherever there was room. She was one of the last people out of the building, and normally that was when she would stop beside her car, take out the small spray bottle, and repeat the words she had been saying for years. That night she didn't. She drove home, carried most of her equipment inside, and left one case in the trunk because she was too tired to deal with it. By the time she showered and got into bed, it was nearly 5 in the morning, and she slept until almost noon. It wasn't until later that afternoon when she opened the equipment bag to start charging batteries that she saw the spray bottle sitting in its usual pocket. She stared at it for a second before realizing what she had forgotten. For the first time in years, she had left an investigation without doing the one thing she always did before getting into her car. She actually laughed at herself. Nothing had happened. Her house felt exactly the same as it always did. And the idea that missing a 30-second routine somehow meant she had brought a spirit home seemed ridiculous when she thought about it in daylight. Still, habit was habit. She took the bottle out, gave herself a light spray, and repeated the same words twice, making it clear that nothing from the nursing home was welcome in her house. Then she put the bottle away and went on with her day. Two nights later, she was sitting in her living room going through audio from the investigation when she heard something in the hallway behind her. 3 slow footsteps. She stopped the recording and listened. For several seconds, the house was completely quiet. Then came a single knock from the wall. Her first reaction was not that something had followed her home. It was that she had been listening to the nursing home recordings for too long. She knew how easily suggestion could turn unrelated sounds into something meaningful, especially after hours of reviewing the same footsteps and knocks. So she did exactly what she would have told any homeowner to do and started looking for an explanation. The hallway was empty. Nothing unusual was happening outside, and when she came back inside, the house was quiet again. She made a note of the time anyway, figuring that if it happened again, then it might be worth paying attention to. For the next 2 days, nothing did. She went to work, reviewed more evidence from the nursing home, and gradually decided the footsteps had been coincidence. Then on Thursday night, she heard them again. This time she wasn't reviewing evidence or even thinking about the investigation. She was in the kitchen putting away dishes when 3 slow footsteps crossed the hallway behind her. She turned before the third one had completely faded, but nobody was there. Several seconds later, a single knock came from the wall near the living room. That bothered her enough that she spent the next hour checking everything she could think of. The furnace was off, the windows were closed, and there was no obvious source of vibration. She walked the hallway herself, tested the floorboards, and pressed on walls and door frames, trying to reproduce what she had heard, and nothing matched. The following morning, she set up one of her investigation cameras in the hallway. She felt slightly ridiculous using the same equipment she carried into supposedly haunted buildings to monitor her own house, but she reminded herself that the camera was there to find an explanation, not prove a haunting. The first night gave her nothing. The second recorded 3 distinct sounds at 1:43 in the morning that seemed to move from one end of the hallway toward the living room. A few seconds later came the knock, although nothing appeared on the video. She still wasn't willing to call it paranormal. Instead, she tested the house more carefully, running appliances, turning the furnace on and off, opening exterior doors, and checking whether air pressure or vibration could reproduce the pattern. None of it did. Then the guest room door began opening. The first time she noticed it standing open, she assumed she had forgotten to close it. The next evening, she shut it deliberately and found it open again less than an hour later. Since doors opening by themselves were one of the easiest things to explain during an investigation, she checked the hinges, the floor, and the airflow. The door stayed wherever she placed it. Finally, she closed it and put a small piece of removable tape across the edge. The next morning, the tape was broken, and the door was standing open several inches. That was when she began keeping a more detailed log. She wrote down when the noises happened, what appliances were running, and whether anything else in the house might explain them. She reviewed camera footage rather than trusting her memory and treated her own home exactly the way she would treat any location. She was investigating. The more carefully she documented it, the less she liked what she was finding. Over the next week, the three footsteps and single knock happened several more times. Twice, she caught the sounds on camera, and once she was standing in the hallway when they occurred. She had been checking the guest room door when the first step sounded behind her, heavy enough that she could feel it slightly through the floor. The second came closer, then the third, while she watched the empty hallway the entire time. Several seconds later, something knocked once inside the wall beside her. For the first time, she stopped thinking only about explanations inside her house and started thinking seriously about the nursing home. That night, she pulled out her notes from the investigation. Former employees had described the same pattern they had heard on the second floor. Three slow footsteps, a pause, and one knock. It wasn't merely similar, it was the same. She called one of the investigators she trusted most and asked him to come over. She didn't tell him what she suspected, only that she wanted another set of eyes on some strange activity. He spent several hours checking the same things she had already checked and found a loose vent and one noisy floorboard, but neither explained the footsteps. Before he left, she finally told him about forgetting her closing routine after the nursing home investigation. He reminded her that timing alone didn't prove anything, and she agreed. Then he asked two questions. When had the activity started, and had she ever heard that three-step pattern in her house before? Two nights after the investigation, and never before. That night after he left, she did the closing ritual again. She sprayed herself, walked through each room, and repeated the words she had used for years, making it clear that nothing from the nursing home belonged there and nothing was permitted to stay. Then she went to bed. At 2:11 in the morning, she woke to three slow footsteps outside her bedroom door, followed by a pause and a single knock. This time, the knock came directly from the bedroom door. She didn't open the bedroom door. For several minutes, she simply sat in bed listening, waiting for another step or knock. Nothing came. Eventually, she got up, turned on the light, and checked the hallway, but just as before, there was nothing there. By morning, she had stopped trying to convince herself that the timing meant nothing. That didn't mean she was ready to say a spirit had followed her home from the nursing home, but she had eliminated enough ordinary explanations that she was no longer comfortable handling it alone. She called the investigator who had been there the night before and told him exactly what had happened. He suggested they treat her house like any other active location. That weekend, two other members of the team came over. They knew about the nursing home investigation, but had not been told all the details of what she had experienced at home because she wanted them to approach it without being influenced by her theory. They spent several hours checking the house again, testing the guest room door, looking at the HVAC, checking for animals in the attic, and listening for sounds from neighboring properties. Nothing unusual happened during the first part of the evening, and she actually began to feel relieved. Then, shortly after midnight, all four of them heard the footsteps. Three slow steps moved down the hallway toward them, followed by a pause and a single knock from the wall. Nobody spoke for several seconds until one of the investigators finally asked whether that was the same pattern they had heard at the nursing home. She said yes. It was the first time someone besides her had heard it inside her house. And although nobody was ready to declare that something had followed her home, they agreed there was enough similarity to take the possibility seriously. One of the investigators suggested that instead of trying to collect more evidence, they should focus on ending whatever interaction might be happening. That was an important distinction for her. She had spent years going into locations hoping for activity, asking questions, and waiting for responses. In her own house, she wanted the exact opposite. They turned off the cameras and she took out the same cleansing spray she had used for years. With the others beside her, she walked through the house and repeated that nothing from the nursing home had permission to remain there, attach itself to her, or communicate with her in her home. This time she didn't rush through the words as part of a familiar routine. She said them slowly and deliberately, repeating the boundary twice in every room. When they reached the hallway, she stopped near the guest room door. Everything remained quiet for a few moments before one knock sounded from farther down the hall. Nobody responded to it. She finished what she was saying and continued through the rest of the house. Afterward, the team stayed for another hour, but nothing else happened. Eventually, they packed up and left, and for the first time since the activity began, she was alone without immediately listening for footsteps. The next night was quiet, and so was the night after that. The guest room door stayed closed, the three-step pattern did not return, and after a week had passed without anything unusual, she began to relax. She kept the camera in the hallway for another couple of weeks, but never captured anything similar again. Eventually, she put the equipment away. She never claimed they had removed a spirit from her house because she knew there was no way to prove that was what had happened. Maybe the activity had stopped on its own. Maybe there had been an explanation they simply never found. She had spent too many years investigating paranormal claims to abandon the same standards she expected from everyone else, simply because this time the unexplained activity had happened to her. For nearly a decade, she had investigated dozens of locations and always performed the same simple ritual before leaving. She had never experienced anything unusual at home. Then one night she forgot, and within days she began hearing the exact pattern of footsteps and knocking that had been reported at the nursing home. The activity continued until she and her team deliberately told whatever might be there that it had to leave. After that, it stopped. She continued paranormal investigating and remained just as skeptical as before. If anything, the experience made her even more careful about separating what she could prove from what she simply believed. But one habit changed forever. At the end of every investigation, no matter how late it is or how tired everyone may be, she stops before getting into her car. She takes the small bottle from her bag, sprays herself lightly, and repeats the same boundary she has used for years. Nothing there is allowed to come with her, and everything stays where it belongs. She still can't say with certainty that those words protect her from anything. She only knows what happened the one time she forgot to say them.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.